Good morning. We here in the United States have set our clocks back 1 hour. So it's 10:48 now instead of 11:48. Proves that time's an illusion because we can move it wherever we want it, can't we? We are continuing our study of the nature of error. And this is the book Consciousness in Transition. It was also called Metaphysical Notes. And we're on Chapter 5, The Nature of Error. So let us have a quiet moment to attune ourselves to the message. So he begins with, God is all. Nevertheless, we are faced every day, and almost every hour of every day, with error in some form. The object of our study is, of course, coming into oneness with the spiritual life, coming to that point where we are actually able to contact the mind that was in Christ Jesus, and thereby have the infinite power, guidance and direction, love and protection. It is natural for us to agree that one reason we would love that is because it does eliminate the errors of human sense. Now that right there is a clue. The errors of human sense. Spiritual sense does not see errors. Spiritual sense sees the kingdom. Spiritual sense sees that God is all. But the human sense, these five senses, and the human mind, they show us error. Right where God is all. Now, he says, two things are necessary in that spiritual living. One is this contact, this ability to be one with the mind that was in Christ Jesus. The other, which is the letter of truth, is the ability to know our relationship to God and to understand the nature of error. Now, let's stop there a moment. To understand the nature of error is not being able to say, well, it's hypnotism, it's mesmerism, it's nothingness. That's not understanding the nature of error. As we said last week, something more is required. And that something more happens to you when you're in your meditation and you recognize oneness with God, that God really is all. And as you go to relax in that, you remember that someone called on you for help. So what are you going to do about it? Ah, well, that's what this chapter is about. When you actually understand, that's the wrong word, when you have an experience within that shows you that error really is nothing, that this problem presented to you really is but an appearance, and then you rest in the Word, and that appearance dissolves, then you say, aha, error really is nothingness. And you know it by experience, not in the mind, but really in the soul, where spiritual discernment resides. That's the kind of understanding that he's referring to when he says to understand the nature of error. In order to be free of discord, let us never forget that it is necessary for us to know the nature of error. In our meditation, we are going to be so consciously one with God that eventually error never comes near us. It fades away automatically even as we approach it. Now that's his experience he's telling you about. Error dissolves as he approaches it. Now, I feel that very, very few of us are at that point where error dissolves as we approach it. Because before we get there, we must practice certain principles. And that's why the need to study the nature of error, so we can grasp and practice those spiritual principles. And so he says, until that time, let us not hesitate to talk about the nature of error and what we are to do about it as we see evidences of it. We know that error isn't a reality. That is the basis of our understanding. But in the working out of problems, it becomes necessary to go as far as we can with this understanding of the unreal nature of error, so that we can meet it and dissolve it instantaneously. To begin with, when error appears to us, it appears as a person, or a condition, or a place. In the same way, when good appears to us, it appears as a person, a place, a condition. When I look out here, all that is actually here is God. It is all God appearing as. When this thing called error, which isn't a thing, but an appearance, when it appears, it likewise appears as a person, a place, or a condition. Error never appears as error. It always appears in some form that will fool you. If error would only appear as error, we'd all be free. If it would say to us, let's steal a diamond ring. Oh, we'd be so safe from it. It doesn't appear that way. It appears as a beautiful diamond attracting us, or a handsome man, or a beautiful woman tempting us. And we do not see that it is error tempting us. All that we see is that beautiful form that it appears to be, that it appears as. It is the same way with disease. Disease appears to us as some kind of localized condition, and that's what fools us. We go to work on that condition, and thereby we almost become one with it. At least we make it a reality. Now, when the metaphysician who is alert sees a form of good, that's us, that we should be practicing this. Sees a form of good, like a good person or a generous person or a kindly or philanthropic person, the wise metaphysician will instantly say, you don't fool me. That's God. Those are the qualities of God appearing as or through this person. And so you won't get tangled up in personality. And you won't get so completely tangled up in attraction for a person that the loss of that person or his disappearance can almost drive you mad. Or a fall from grace might so disappoint you that it could cause heartbreak. The wise metaphysician, even while appreciating a good person, will at the same time look behind the form and say, "Oh yes, but I happen to know that it is God appearing as you." You don't say it out loud, but that's your thought, and that's the consciousness you live in. When everything of a good nature is appearing to you, you immediately translate and say, "I recognize you. It is God appearing to me as good." So, that is what we practice with the good that we behold. Here recently, the leaves were all changing, and the colors were just beautiful. That's the time to say, "You don't fool me. Beautiful is God appearing. God is all, so I'm not fooled by leaves." Or whatever words you use to remember that God is all. On the other hand, we must be equally alert when error appears. Now, error is not a person. Error is never a person. And to immediately work on an evil person is to get yourself so mixed up in it that you'll have a hard time ever bringing out a healing. In the same way, error is never a diseased person either. It appears that way, but it isn't that. And if you work on the disease of the person, ultimately, you are going to find your healing work isn't really good. When you are confronted with an evil person or a sick person or situation, you must learn, just as you translated the good person back into God, you must translate this evil person or condition back into impersonal error. And now I'm going to show you the method of doing that. So there's two things here so far. We have to, he calls it right identification, seeing that God is all, practicing that principle. Behind all beauty, behind all love, behind all generosity, this is God appearing as. But we must also have reinterpretation of the error. And he says, remember we used the illustration of the streetcar tracks coming together? In the same way, you remember the illustration of the hypnotist with his victim and his imaginary white poodle. I, sitting out here in the audience, know right well when that man asked for help to get rid of his white poodle that I mustn't give him help to get rid of his white poodle. Otherwise, I would be in the same state of hypnotism that he is in. The mere fact that I am not hypnotized makes me see there is no white poodle there. Now, the claim isn't a white poodle. The claim is hypnotism. And that's something that I underlined because it's important. And I can use that in my practice. Working on the nature of error, we all have become those that practice. And so we are practitioners. We are practicing these principles. And this is one that you can grab onto. The claim isn't disease. The claim is hypnotism. The claim isn't a drunk person. The claim is hypnotism. The claim isn't age, old age. The claim is hypnotism. The claim isn't a newborn baby with breathing problems. The claim is hypnotism. Always, it's impersonal hypnotism. You know, hypnotism can't produce a white poodle, can it? It can only produce an illusory appearance, and nobody is going to be afraid of that. The fear comes only while we believe there's a white poodle there. Or, the fear comes only when we believe there's a diseased person there. Now, inasmuch as we have no condition of disease in the world, you remember in the Kailua study series, he said this came to him while he was studying the life of the Buddha, and he snapped his fingers. That gave me the answer to the whole thing. And the answer was to remove error from the world. And here he's saying, we have no condition of disease in the world, no condition of sin. Because if we have, rest assured, we haven't got a God. Don't ever believe that there is an infinite power called divine love and a sin or a disease in the world. You can't have both. You've got to make your choice. Either you have come into the assurance, the realization that there is a God, a principle of the universe, or else you are going to be battling sin and disease and death forever. But once you have seen that God is the substance, the law, and the form of all being, then you must agree that sin, disease, and death, and lack and limitation, unemployment and homelessness, all of that is illusion. Through the centuries in which the human sense has built up what we call materia medica, or the medical field, or a theological belief, and other material beliefs, these beliefs have become so strong that they act on us like hypnotism. In this work, we have agreed to use some words, very inadequate words, we admit, the only words I know so far to describe the unreal nature of error. Now, that was a typo. My book says the real nature of error, but that's not what it should say. The proofreader missed it. The only words I know so far to describe the unreal nature of error, and we have agreed to use the words hypnotism or mesmerism or suggestion or appearance, so that when you see a person in sin or disease, immediately lift your thought and say, I can't be fooled, that's the appearance. But actually it's nothing but a hypnotic suggestion, a mesmeric suggestion, or a universal belief that is appearing to me as a sick person or a sinful person. As you are meeting error in your experience, now remember, he told you he was going to show you the method for doing this, and here it is. As you are meeting with error in your existence, and you are meeting it in your own body or business, or through your patients, as long as you are meeting some form of error, you might as well know what it is you are meeting, so that you will know how to handle it. Probably when you get to that degree of oneness with Christ consciousness, you will be able to forget this. You'll be able to drop it right out of your thought. It is relatively unimportant once you are completely one with that mind which was also in Christ Jesus. It may be that some of you even at this moment are on a spiritual level to the degree that when you close your eyes and go to the center of your being and find yourself one with God, all phases of error and discord will disappear without the word error coming to your thought. Now, if you're there, please make a talk so we can hear how you did it or how you're doing it. However, this man who healed thousands of people says, "I have found it helpful to me when I am first presented with any form of error, when a patient writes me or telephones me or comes to the office, for me to realize quickly I'm not dealing with a person or a condition. I am only dealing with a suggestion that wants to get in and make me do something about it. Now, when I've done that, I've done all that's necessary in the way of treatment." And what did he do? He translated it into hypnotism, didn't he? "After that, I can sit down, find my peace, get right to the center of God consciousness, and go on from there. But unless I do the other first, the temptation is apt to come in. Well, this is a pretty kettle of fish. What am I going to do about a serious disease like this? Or what am I going to do with a person this far gone in sin? Or with this person so close to death? And of course, you know this temptation is particularly strong when elderly people come to us, because there you have the whole world's temptation to believe, oh, what can you expect? It is right there that you have got to be alert to realize that in the kingdom of God there are no such things as newborn babies or elderly people. Everything from the newest born babe to the oldest individual on earth is nothing but the presence of God suggesting itself to you in time and space. It would not be bad to remember a sentence that Mrs. Eddy wrote many, many years ago. Mortality is a myth. That includes all mortality, from infancy to old age. It is all a myth. Then perhaps you won't feel it natural for older people to be sick and younger ones to be well. So, these are things that he practices, and if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. Every one of us must express the fullness of God. All that the Father has is ours. Son, all that I have is thine. And this wasn't addressed to a person of any particular age either. So when you are presented with cases as you have been, and will be again, even cases of unborn children and cases of newborn children, cases in middle age and cases in old age, remember clearly, we are not dealing with a person, a condition, or a thing. On the positive side, we are dealing with God appearing as individual being. And it is just as much God at 100 years of age as it is at 22. God appearing as individual being. And on the negative side, we are dealing with appearance, with mortality, with a myth, with the suggestion of a selfhood apart from God. Therefore, do not let yourself be trapped into treating a person or a disease, and watch the miracle that happens in your healing work. Heretofore, we have believed that we were dealing with sick people or sinful people. Now stop that and watch the miracle. Remember, this must prove itself in your practice because it is the universal truth. And so this must prove itself in your practice. And that's where you see it dissolve, and that's where you have the understanding, oh, it really was an illusion. There is no such thing as error. And there is no use trying to account for error. But you can say that it certainly is an appearance coming to you. It is a temptation coming to you to believe in a self apart from God. Whether you choose to say, oh, well, this is hypnotism, suggesting what appears to be a white poodle, or this is a temptation to believe in a selfhood apart from God, or whether you find other terms that you like better. So long as you get the essence of what I'm saying, and know that never will you be called upon to heal a sick or sinning person. There is no such thing in the kingdom of God. And don't forget, heaven and earth are not two different places. No, we've said it over and over. You're standing in the kingdom of God, but you're seeing earth. The transition you make is in your consciousness through the practicing of these principles until you awaken. Oh, it's hypnotism. I see. It's an appearance. It's just as much an appearance as the water on the road in the desert when you think the water is across the road. That's a mirage. Maybe you like that term, mirage. Don't forget that heaven and earth are not two different places. There is no use saying, oh, I know there is no such thing in heaven, but what about earth? Heaven and earth are the same place. Now, I have all this underlined. Very important. Heaven and earth are the same place. Earth is our mortal concepts of heaven. Heaven is our real awareness of the earth. In other words, heaven is the earth correctly seen. Never forget that this life of yours is God. And if it appears to me to be young or old, sick or well, evil or good, that is just God appearing falsely to me. And I am the one who must reinterpret the scene. That's our work for quite a while, until it comes, well, until it begins to live itself, and error dissolves as we approach it. Never forget that. Now, we have two ideas. Right identification, which means God appearing as individual life, and sin, disease, and death, which is nothing more or less than God being wrongly interpreted. So the next word after right identification is reinterpretation. Now here it is in a nutshell. Right identification, which means the one appearing as many, or God life appearing as individual being, and then reinterpretation, which means looking right at sick, sinning, human, dying men and women and reinterpreting that to see, inasmuch as God is all, that this is part of the allness of God, which is being misseen, coming to me as a false suggestion, as hypnotism, which I must reinterpret. Now, you must There's a lot of musts in here, and maybe you could go through and circle them or underline them or highlight them. You must carry with you these two words from morning to night and night to morning. Two words, right identification and reinterpretation. Reinterpret everything you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. Reinterpret it back to its original state, which is God. Be sure that you practice right identification, knowing that all that appears to you is God appearing as the individual man, woman, or child. God appearing as the plant, animal, the crops. And then knowing what the human eye sees is the misconception of that divine idea. What the human eye sees, what the human ear hears, is the false picture presented by this thing I call hypnotism or suggestion. It is the same thing that presents the two tracks coming together, or presents the sky sitting on the mountain, or the water on the road, or the imaginary white poodle. I really do not care what name or term you find for it. Mirage. Just be sure you are willing not to get so absolute that you won't reinterpret what is appearing to you in the scene. So he does not advocate being so absolute that you walk around saying, God is all, God is all, God is all. Only God is. God is, God is, God is. Because you and I have to build or awaken our consciousness to the reality. We can't just pretend that we have this thing and we don't have it. We have to practice these spiritual principles, these mystical principles, and in this case, these healing principles. So, you have to reinterpret what is appearing to you in the human scene. In the book, The Infinite Way, the most important chapter is The New Horizon. This chapter is the explanation of what I have just said, the reinterpretation of what you behold. In other words, it tells you clearly that the entire human picture is hypnotism or mesmeric suggestion. It is a suggestion coming to you of a self apart from God, and you are called on to reinterpret it. You have been called. If you're hearing this and you're understanding this, you have been called to reinterpret it. You can be a part of the solution to this world in seeing that it's really heaven, and in reinterpreting the scene that appears as earth. You can be a part of the solution. What happens after you have done this for a while? You don't have to try to do it anymore. It becomes automatic. As you see people and events, you translate them or reinterpret them. You really see them as they are without any mental process. He wrote, this says protest, but I think it was process. The very moment a person, place, or thing presents itself to us, we immediately say, I know you. You are God appearing. And then the second thing, oh, but how sick or sinful. That we can reinterpret. We can say, that is but the false sense of God appearing. That is the suggestion, the human sense of things, and is purely illusory. As you learn not to fight it or battle it, you come into oneness with the reality. And that's all there is to it. Okay. That's all there is to it. And that's all there is to it for him. You and I are beginning, perhaps. And so we have to practice. We practice it first in our meditation. Someone asks for help. Maybe someone online here has a request for help. And so we practice what we just learned. Right identification. This is God appearing. Ah, but God appearing isn't asking for help. So what is this asking for help? Well, it's not a person. It's not a condition. It must be hypnotism. It must be that mesmerism. It must be mirage. It must be a myth. So now I will be silent. Father, reveal thyself. And stand still. And then, after time, we begin to practice it as we're walking around, maybe even as we're driving, definitely as we're watching the news. And finally, it begins to practice itself. You look, and instantly comes the inner realization, hypnotism. This is God appearing. And you don't even say the words. You just see God appearing. And then error dissolves at your approach. Now, this subject of knowing the nature of error is one that has never been a pleasant one to teach. The average person doesn't like it. He would much rather spend the time talking about God and all the loveliness of God. I assure you that I am one of those who would much rather stick to the main theme of the Christ that liveth in me than to go off on this other angle. But I have learned the danger of that. So there's a danger in that. What is it? I have learned that there are too many people in the metaphysical world who are perfectly willing to talk about the allness of God and then see error eating them up. It is just what we are saying, what we were saying here the other night. We come across people indulging in various forms of error right in the metaphysical world. And they say, well, it hasn't any power. Yet they are indulging it, so it must have some power, or they wouldn't be indulging it. Still, they look you right in the face and say, well, it has no power. What are you afraid of? It's getting the best of them, and it would get the best of us, too, if we kept saying it has no power, just power enough to attract me. What's the use of all this nonsense of going around saying there's no evil, while at the same time we keep two or three telephone lines going so that people who are sick can reach us? It isn't consistent, is it? Probably most practitioners at some time or another are so lifted up in consciousness that when people come to them, the error drops away without their having any conscious thought about anything. Perhaps some of you remember the illustration of that at the Chicago World's Fair, when Kate Buck had a man come to her with a visible growth who asked her to talk to him about God. He did not ask for treatment. She spent 2 hours talking about God. The man left her office without asking for or receiving treatment. In the morning, the man's wife telephoned that the growth had entirely disappeared. In that 2 hours, Kate Buck had elevated herself to such a state of spiritual consciousness that she was not conscious any longer of what the man was presenting to her. So she didn't have to clear this suggestion. It was self-evident that it was only suggestion. I don't mean that it is always necessary for you to absolutely make the statement, "Oh, this is suggestion." Or, "Oh, this is hypnotism, and isn't person, place, or thing." No, I don't mean that at all. I do mean, get it into your consciousness that any form of error is only suggestion, and stop giving treatments to people and conditions. So how do you get it in your consciousness? You get it in your consciousness by practicing, by seeing error dissolve, even small errors. I mean, if you can classify big and small errors, I guess they're all errors. There is no big and small. But what we see as small, maybe two dogs barking, or maybe two children fighting, or two people arguing, something simple. We start with that. We practice right identification. God is all. God is the only presence. And God is good. Well, this then that's appearing to me, this is not two people. This is one hypnotism. One hypnotism appearing as. But God is. And God is being as. So this that I'm seeing is a misinterpretation of God as. Well, in that case, I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to argue with it. I'm not going to take up the sword. This is hypnotism. What have I to do with thee? Get thee behind me. Now, Father, reveal thyself, and I wait until there's that click, until I feel the actual movement within the presence. And then I know I have just seen God appearing as. And if I really have, the error will dissolve, sometimes in front of my eyes. And so he says, train yourself. That involves work, doesn't it? Have you ever trained yourself to do something? It involves practice and practice and practice. Train yourself to know that you are never dealing with a sick or sinning person. You never have a disease to deal with. All you have are the universal beliefs, the mirage, the hypnotism. You see, we just accept these things at their face value, and then we go out and demonstrate them. Don't accept the suggestion that you must die at 70 years and 10, and don't accept the doctor's suggestion that a disease is very dangerous or very serious. Remember, it is suggestion, and the chances are that after it is healed, the doctor will say, "You know, I think my diagnosis was wrong." So even the suggestion isn't so. Now, you can set aside any law of belief. You can't set aside a law of God. So the law of belief would be the belief that a disease must run its course. A law of God would be that eternal life is right here, unfettered. The law of God is life eternal. The law of God is all that I have is thine. All the eternality, all the immortality, you can't set that aside. But you can set aside the belief that you must die at any specific time, whether it is the doctor that says it or the Bible with its 70 years and 10, or whether it is the stars that say it. You can set that aside by becoming a law onto your own being through the realization that yours is a God-given dominion. God gave man dominion over the things of the earth, over the waters, over the stars, over the heavens. God gave you, its own individualized being, dominion. But you must consciously exercise this. You can't sit back and let those beliefs act upon you. Now remember, these beliefs, these universal beliefs, whether medical, theological, they do act on you until you consciously set them aside. Now there's the practice. Right identification and reinterpretation and resting. Three R's. You'll respond in accord with medical beliefs unless you yourself consciously take possession of your life through your God-given dominion and say, no, my life is God. All the rest of this belief about age and change, that's all medical belief or suggestion. It does not have to operate in or upon or through my consciousness. Thousands shall fall at my left hand, tens of thousands at the right, if they don't want to take hold of this truth. Each one has the right, either by choice or through ignorance, to go through life in his own way. You have the right to take hold of your own existence and determine it. One way is to be sure that you know when error appears what it is, so that it does not fool you. Don't let it make you accept a sick person or a sinful person to try to heal or reform. Otherwise, you will be in the same boat he is in. It will be the blind leading the blind. The only thing that sets us apart from the man in the street, the only difference between a practitioner and a patient, is that the practitioner cannot be fooled into believing you are a human being. Now remember, you and I and others of us, we are practicing these principles. We are practicers or practitioners. And so, as a practitioner, don't be fooled into believing in human beings. Oh, yes. Yes, I see. I turn on the news and hundreds, if not thousands, are dying in Israel and Arab countries, in the Ukraine. I see that. But there are no human beings. Remember, right identification. God is appearing as. And all of these scenes are the misinterpretation of God. But one with God is a majority. I tell you, if Christ Jesus was standing there, he could dissolve these images. And instantaneously. This particular image goes way back to Jacob and who was the other guy? Anyway, they were brothers. And they were fighting. And they've been fighting ever since. The Jews and the Arabs, the two brothers. So this mental image is kind of old and dusty. But you and I can see through it to the underlying reality of God appearing as. And perhaps if we practice that every night, maybe we could dissolve these images. Why don't we do that? I don't know what time is better for you, but it doesn't matter. You pick a time. I'm going to do it at about 8 o'clock. My time. 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. But if you pick another time, if you pick in the morning or in the afternoon, then at some time, all around the clock, someone will be sitting and unseeing the scene. We will be a part of the solution, Christ consciousness circling the globe. And I would like you to begin that. That's a good place to practice. It's a good place to see that this is impersonal. This is not a person. This is not people fighting. This is impersonal error appearing as war. Right identification. God is all in all, so God is the only presence. Why am I seeing this? Because the senses don't report God. Spiritual discernment reveals God appearing as. But the senses report men and women fighting each other and taking hostages and doing evil things. Now, whether you choose one side over the other, it's all the same. It's the same illusion. Whether it appears to you as the good side or the bad side, it's the same illusion. It's the same hypnotism. It's the same mirage. It's the same myth. It's the same appearance. And it does not belong to any individual, because God is individual being. Who does it belong to? No one. It's a nothing, belonging to no one. And then, Father, reveal thyself. I stand still to behold the truth. The practitioner knows that regardless of appearances, it is God appearing as individual being. And the practitioner won't accept anything else. In the same way, the practitioner won't accept a sick person or a patient. A sick person as a patient, or a diseased person for a patient, or a sinning person for a patient, but will say, I know you. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, hypnotism. Get thee behind me, appearance. You are just a false concept tempting me into accepting you as reality. I know you, so you can take off your false face. By reinterpreting and by right identification, you really and truly come into a state of consciousness where life becomes not a mental process, but a looking out and seeing God. Looking out and seeing God, and that all is well with the world. A looking out and seeing God. And so this is a part of our awakening. Why should we know the nature of error? Because this is a part of our awakening. To be able to look out and not see these appearances at war with one another, but being able to look out and see God appearing as, and all is well with the world. Now that's living in the kingdom here and now. Let the others struggle with the appearance. You can help to lift them by your knowing the truth. But again, I remind you, knowing the truth is not sitting down and rehearsing things. Knowing the truth is what takes place first in your meditation when you see God is the all in all and error dissolves. That's knowing the truth. And so you can be a part of a band of Christhood circling the globe as part of the solution, knowing the truth, resting in the conscious awareness of the presence of God living where the appearance appears. And that's why it's important to know the nature of error, and that's why we're having this study. Because so many of us, we learn the words, we know where to go and which book to find whatever, but we haven't spent the time practicing. We haven't spent the time building our consciousness to where it automatically sees truth, and eventually to where it lives us. But now I am here to say, excuse me, pardon me, maybe we should practice these principles in all our affairs. Maybe we should practice these spiritual principles, practice these mystical principles, practice this right identification and reinterpretation, practice seeing God as all in all and error as hypnotism, mesmerism, mirage, practice resting in the Word, I and the Father are one. And it's true of that which I am looking at. I and the Father are one. This then is right identification. But I'm not seeing that. The senses are reporting, I and my Father are two. I and my Father are 5 billion. So I must reinterpret. No, this is error appearing. I know who you are. You can't fool me. This is error. This is hypnotism, mesmerism, mirage. And then, the final piece, resting in God. God, reveal yourself. And standing still. Then the inner movement, the feeling of the presence, the click, a quick short breath, a feeling of warmth, a tingling. And I have seen God appearing as. Now, if we all do this, we can be a part of lifting this world into the kingdom of heaven, where it eternally is in reality. But it must be consciously seen, and then it takes form. Again, I thank you for bringing out this talk. If I was just talking to myself, it probably wouldn't come this way. But your consciousness draws this out. And so I am forever grateful. Thank you. I love you because I know who you are. Blessings.